Thank you. Beloved friends who don't have lake houses, welcome. I don't want a lake house. I want my brother to pay for a lake house, and I want to go stay for free. And I want to leave a mess when I'm done, and he can clean it up. That's my theory on the entire lake house thing. Next topic. We're honored that you're here. What a joy it is, a privilege to gather with you in worship and in hope. And in joy. I'm thankful for our friend Mark McBrayer leading us in worship today. Grateful for Pastor Cheryl, who's got some time off after 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever it is. A lot of joy that we call to be leaders. Grateful for our good friend, Reverend Dr. Meredith Stone, who shared just delight and grace with us last week. My name is Jake. If we can be of help to you at any point, we would be honored to do so. We're going to be nice and still, right? We're going to be nice and still and behave. I'd like to invite you to stand as you may be able, and we will continue to worship together. I'm going to read this one time, and then we will all read it together. From the words of hope in Psalm, we ponder your steadfast love, O God, in the midst of your temple. Your name, O God, like your praise, reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with victory. Join me together. We ponder your steadfast love, O God, in the midst of your temple. Your name, O God, like your praise, reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with victory. Amen.
Please pray with me. Dear God, thank you for the joy that we have in you. Thank you for the life that we receive in your Son. Thank you for the ability to worship you. Thank you for the ability to feel your presence around us. God, it is in your holy and precious name that we pray. Amen.
Oh,
all the children to come forward and join us for a story. Why don't you come up here? Sit right here, okay? Hey, 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 how are you? We got a few more friends coming. Let's scooch in just a little bit closer. Hi, Sadie. Hey, good morning, Stars and Stripes. Well, I wanted to share with you a book. And this book was written by a friend. It's very special to me. And the name of the book is What is God Like? This was written by Rachel Held Evans and Matthew Paul Turner. Pretty cool, huh? You see the pictures? It says, What is God like? That's a very big question. One that people from all places all around the world have wondered about since the beginning of time. And while nobody has seen all of God, because God is far too big for any of us to fully see, we can know what God is like. God is like an eagle, sharp-eyed and swift, with wings so wide you can play under the shadows. God is like a river, constant and life-giving. When you grow near God, you'll sprout and strong. You'll sprout up strong as a tree. God is like the stars, forever present and bright. Even when they feel far away, you can always look and see them winking at you. God is like a shepherd, brave and good, a protector who loves her sheep so much that she watches over all of them and knows them by name and heart. Pretty cool, huh? God is like a fort, strong and secure, with walls that are mighty and safe. Inside, they are hidden places, they are hiding places to hold you when you're scared or you need to rest. God is like a gardener, patient and nurturing. God plants waters and weeds and fertilizes the earth until every good thing on it seeks the nourishing and it grows. God is like the flame of a candle, warm and inviting. With God close by, you can look to the light and see through the darkest of nights. God is like the wind, passionate and full of mystery. God is both here and somehow over there. God is everywhere, swirling throughout the world, whistling across mountain ranges, rustling through the trees, and pressing against your cheeks on a breezy day. God is like an artist, creative and unpredictable, always busy and making everything brilliant and new. God is like a mother, strong and safe. You can crawl up in her lap whenever you want, and she will hold you until you fall asleep. God is like a father, gentle and safe. He will put you on top of his shoulders to give you a bird's eye view of all of creation. That's what Daddy does to you. That's right. God is like three dancers, great, graceful, and precise. They move to the same music in very different ways, showcasing God's elegance and rhythm in your life. God is like a rainbow, vivid and full of color, dazzling, reminding us of promise and hope for all people, even in the storm. God is like a best friend, faithful and true, closer than even your brothers and sisters. And because we know God, what God is like, we also know that God is kind, God is forgiving, God is slow to get angry, God is quick to be glad, God is happy when we tell the truth and when we say things are unfair. She is always your protector, He is always trustworthy, they are friends when you feel alone. God hopes, God perseveres. What is God like? That's a very big question, one that people from all places all around the world throughout all time have answered in many different ways. Keep searching, keep wondering, keep learning about God. But whenever you aren't sure about what God is like, think about what makes you feel safe, what makes you feel brave, and what makes you feel loved. That is what God is like. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. You can go back to your parents or your family or to go with Miss Donna to preschool praise.
Today's Old Testament reading comes from the 123rd Psalm. To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. As the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid in the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he has mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us. The word of God for the people of God.
Let's pray together. For freedom, for truth, for justice, for happiness. Oh God, we give thanks, for these are the gifts that you have given to us. Give us the courage. Give us the wisdom. Give us the perseverance to share that which is good, that which you have shared with us, with the world. For those who have come before us, for the voices who remind us of where you are, for the children who show us of your joy and of your creativity, for each face, unique and beautiful. We pray that all of these things would share your hope. May it be so in this space. May it be so eternally. We pray in the name of the Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit together. Amen. As you may be able, I invite you to stand as we continue to worship.
Have faith.
The gospel reading for this morning comes from the 6th chapter of Mark. He left that place and came into his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this carpenter the son of Mary and brother of James, Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thanks be to God.
This morning, and one of the ways I know what God is like is I see the face of the divine in you, and you are such a joy, such an encouragement. Your voice, your presence, your encouragement, you are one of the ways we know that God is good. Thank you for joining us here today for worship. I want to say a word that might scare some of us, myself included. Repent. Repent. Especially, I put an exclamation point along with the sermon title today, and if you've got a little, if that triggers you a little bit, I imagine you might not be alone here at Second Baptist Church. Anytime I think a religious person says the word repent, particularly with any sort of emphasis in their voice, there is cause for concern. Can a brother get an amen? Yeah, repent. We've spoken of some of this before. However, liberal is a very good word. Conservative is a very good word. Evangelical is a fantastic word. Progressive is a fabulous word. Fundamental. What a great word. All of these words, particularly in their technical definition, all of these words in what they actually mean are truly helpful. They're so helpful. And shocker, when you read the word liberal on the internet, you squirm a little bit. Shocker, when you hear the word conservative on cable news, you might squirm Just a little bit. Our culture and popular vernacular have assigned other sort of meanings to these words. However, I would like to invite you, as I have also received an invitation from the scriptures today. And Jesus sends the disciples out into all of the towns saying that all should repent. And I invite you, my brothers and sisters, my brothers from other mothers and my sisters from other misters, I invite you to join me today in repenting. A great word. And repent does not mean turn or burn, baby. Repent, a compound word in Greek, metanoia. And you know that. You're so smart. You're second B. At all the other churches, you have to define it, but not here. Metanoia, compound word. Meta, meaning beyond. Noia, meaning mind. And Jesus sends the disciples out into all of the towns, inviting all of the peoples to metanoia, to move beyond their mind. Yeah, this is repentance. Richard Rohr says, repentance is not just to move beyond one's mind. Rather, Rohr says, repentance is to move beyond the small mind, the mind of self, and to receive the big mind, which is the mind of Christ. What an incredible, incredible invitation. What does it look like? What does it look like for us today for repent to be a good word? Yeah. And just a few verses later here in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus has been teaching, Jesus has been healing, and this has been received quite well, other than outside of his hometown of Nazareth. I have not been invited to preach in First Baptist Kilgore or at Seal Beach Baptist Church in California. I'm shocker, okay? Jesus has been teaching. Jesus has been preaching. He's been healing, and naturally, a crowd has begun to assemble around him, and they find themselves out in the wilderness so that they can hear Jesus there beside the water, probably likely using that natural acoustics of the water. And Jesus is teaching, and the disciples come and say, "Jesus, we must send all this crowd home. We don't. It's getting dark, and we don't have the resources to feed them all." And Jesus responds to his disciples. This is my paraphrase. This is my translation. Jesus looks at his disciples and says, "Repent." And the disciples says, "We've counted the crowd, and there's a lot of people here. We've evaluated the situation, and there's a lot of people here." And Jesus says, "Move beyond your mind." And Jesus says, "What do we have? Oh, just a couple fishies and loaves." And Jesus takes what we have, what they have. Jesus takes what is, and he gives thanks. And at that moment, seemingly in the telling of Mark, at that moment in which Jesus gives thanks, suddenly there is enough for everyone. Now, friends, I believe one way, incredible way that we can practice repentance is to give thanks, is to be grateful for that which is. The mind starts counting. The mind thinks the resources are limited. And yet the mind of Christ says, "Oh, thanks be for that which is." And it is when thanks is given, all the crowd is fed. There is even some left over. When we give thanks, we are proclaiming that which we didn't create. When we give thanks, we are proclaiming that which is good and beyond our ability. To repent is to give thanks. Yeah, to move beyond our minds to give thanks. Here in Nazareth, the people in his own hometown are saying this. Although Jesus, we believe, is the Savior of the world, even at birth, even long before birth, we believe Jesus is the healer, the great teacher, the Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. And yet his friends from home say, "Oh, he's just a carpenter." And see, the small mind bends towards comparison and categorization, right? The small mind wants things to fit into the label in which they're supposed to fit. The small mind sees Jesus and says, "He's just a carpenter," and compares him to the form in which the small mind can contain. Yeah, yeah. The name of the divine is revealed to Moses in the burning bush, saying, "I am. I am who I am," is what you'll get in some of the translations. So throughout our scriptures, particularly in the Psalms, it says, "I am the Lord, the one who has delivered. I am the one who has brought you out of Egypt." The scripture does not say this: "I am the Lord, and I drive a better car than the other gods." There's not that comparison. It simply is, "I am." Now, my audition for the United States of America Olympic triathlon team last weekend did not go very well. Yeah. However, as we have learned throughout this coming summer, we have researched and know that this to be true, that those who earn and receive, this is incredible, those who earn and receive a bronze medal at the Olympics this summer will have more joy than those who earn and receive a silver medal. Isn't it incredible? That those who earn and receive a silver medal will spend the next 4 years comparing themselves to gold. Those of us in last place will just be thankful to be alive. Yeah, back to gratitude. Yeah, but those who earn bronze, yeah, will know who they are and will receive great joy. FDR was asked about his medical condition, and he responded this way. He said, "Comparison is the thief of joy." The small mind compares to so-and-so, who has such-and-such, that does this and that. No. But the mind of Christ, 5 times in the Gospel of John, Jesus picks up on this very same construction as God revealed God's name in the burning bush. "I am who I am," as some translations say. 5 times in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "I am. I am." And certainly theologically is connected to this idea of life, connected to this idea of being, connected to this idea of essentialness. But there's a simplicity there as well. I am. I am what I am, Popeye. Yeah. And you are to be no one else. If you want to repent today, you be you. You be the you that God called you to be. Bronze, silver. I think most of you are gold medalists. That's my opinion. Yeah. There is very interesting construction, and I see it here in our text, Mark 6 today, and I read it throughout our scriptures. It's a fabulous construction. I think it's paired today with a very neat theological idea. So I'd like to welcome you to the boring part of the sermon, although you thought the boring part was over. The whole thing's boring, okay? It's supposed to be helpful, all right? But throughout our scriptures, it's just incredible the way that God commissions. God sends Jonah and says, "Go to Nineveh, your greatest rival." And Jonah buys a boat and goes to Tarshish. Yeah. God says, "No, go to Nineveh and preach as that they might be saved." And Jonah goes, interesting. Yeah. God calls Jeremiah a person who probably likely lives with great depression or self-image or serious conflicts with his confidence. This is the one who God sends to Israel to remind all of the people to return to covenant faithfulness to the Lord our God. And it's like he struggles to get out of bed. Yeah. God says to Moses, here are the 10 most important words of our entire faith. God gives to Moses, a person who we know has serious issues with public speaking, says, here are the 10 most important words. You take them to the people. Jesus says to Peter, Mr. Doubt himself, Mr. Denier himself, Jesus says to Peter, it is you, it is your faith, it is your heart that the church will be built upon. It is incredible, time and again, that God places divine faith in people who forget, who doubt, who mess up, who choose selfishness over service. Time and time again, I know, for I art one. It is just incredible. There is this fabulous phrase, it's particularly throughout the letters of Paul in our New Testament, maybe most famously in Romans chapter 3, that says the righteousness of God is given because pistis Christou. Yeah. Pistis Christou. And this construction has two primary translations. And you can take it as the objective genitive or the subjective genitive. Wake up, here we go. We're having fun. Repent, okay? And Romans chapter 3 says this. The righteousness of God is given because of, and you can translate this phrase two ways, faith in Christ or faith of Christ. This is incredible. Right? The righteousness of God is given because of one or two options, faith in Christ or the faith of Christ. Which one is it? My friends, if you are ever offered the option between ice cream and chips and salsa, this is what you will say. Yes. Yes. Is righteousness shared because of our faith in Christ, or is righteousness shared because of the faithfulness of Christ? Yes. Yes. A person in this room has shared this story with me, and I know that maybe many of you know it. Their son, who may or may not be an atheist, admitted to John Claypool, a former incredible minister of the Word and a pastor here in our church, this young, I like to think, arrogant kid, I know because I are one, admitted to John Claypool, you know, I don't really believe in God. Can you imagine admitting to such an oak tree of faith, I don't really believe in God? And Claypool looked at the kid and smiled and said, wonderful. God believes in you. God believes in you. And this is what we see over and over and over again in our scripture is Jonah has all of this doubt. And that's okay because God believes in you. Yeah. Jeremiah has all of this difficulty and that's fine. God places faith in you. Now, repentance is a faith in the possibility of faith itself. Repentance, I wrote this sentence down months ago and I've been sitting with it and it's a little existential, but I think it's helpful, okay? Repentance is faith in the possibility of faith. God places such great faith in the possibility that you and I might be faithful. Jesus sends, here in Mark 6, Jesus sends 12 disciples, people he knows to be forgetful, selfish, doubting, wonderful people. And this is whom it gives God such delight and glory to place divine trust in. And under this idea, in some capacity, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to locate faith outside of ourselves. That there is an aspect of faithfulness that exists beyond us. This is the faithfulness of Christ. It is the faithfulness of Christ, that which exists outside and beyond us. It is that by which God shares righteousness with all. Yeah. So when we repent, what we are doing is we are acknowledging a goodness. We are acknowledging a possibility that exists beyond us. And by this definition, it makes repentance so simple. To move beyond the mind is to simply to move beyond what exists within ourselves. Yeah. And it may be a little bit simplistic, but I'd like to leave you with one simple story. Pastor was given a really good children's message in church, right? Yes, thank you. Gosh, happy holidays. The pastor was giving a really good children's sermon, and there were lots of kids there because they loved the pastor's children's sermons. And the pastor says, where is the Bible? Where is the Word of God here in this worship hall? Most of the kids, they pointed up on stage to the Bible. Except, you know, that pastor, he had a pretty clever daughter, and she pointed to her heart. And under his jacket, he slipped her some candy. Yeah. And the pastor said, you know, where is worship in this sacred space that we gather? Where is worship? And Larry could be seen over there with a $20 bill, and so some of the kids pointed over there. Marilyn could be seen over there with a $100 bill, so some of the kids were pointing over there. And the pastor said, yeah, that's right. Worship's everywhere. Yeah. And the pastor is giving this great children's sermon, said to the kiddos, where is God? Where is God in this sacred place in which we gather to worship? And most of the kids, you know, pointed up. And there was one kid who pointed to the front row and said, there's God. That's Miss Johnson. She's my Sunday school teacher, and she is the closest thing we'll ever get to God. Because the faith of faith, gives that sort of thanks and acknowledges the incredible beauty that is beyond the limitations of our own minds. Let's pray together. God, for all the Mrs. Johnsons in this room who exemplify a faith beyond faith, we give thanks to you. Continue, gracious God, to inspire these, our friends, to encourage them, to support them, to lead them, and to bless them. For you, O Christ, are the one who is faithful. It is by your love and by your grace that we give thanks and we pray together. Amen. If I can be of help to you now or at your convenience, we'd be honored to do so. I invite you to stand as we continue to worship and respond together.
this dark maze I tread, and griefs around me spread.
Please join me in this prayer time. O God of all, God of the universe, God of a billion trillion stars, we are humbled before you and by the works of your hand. O God, on this weekend, we thank you for this nation. We thank you for the freedoms and the opportunities we are afforded here. As a people, may you be the North Star for us to seek to follow. May we find greater unity. May we celebrate and learn to treasure the good. May we work to resolve and improve imperfections. God, we thank you for this church. We thank you for this congregation. We pray for family and friends who are with us. And we pray for family and friends who are far, far away. God, keep them safe. Lay out your path before them. May we use our hearts and our hands and our resources to do your work here on this earth. This week and every week, may we hear your voice. May we seek your wisdom and your will in all that we do. God, forgive us for our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
peace of Christ. He didn't tell me I was supposed to say that, so that's not in my notes.
It is the goodness of God that has created all that there is. It is the grace of God that has kept all, even until this very moment. And it is the love of God, fully revealed in the face of Jesus. It is that love by which you are being redeemed. Go in peace and hear this last piece of fun by Larry Landusky. God bless you.